Welcome to the Master Your Health podcast. My name's Amanda Bracchio, previously Amanda Meixner. I'm best known for my meal prep, nutrition content, and healthy swaps. Today, I'm here with my co-host, the research junkie between the two of us, and my husband, Chris Bracchio.
Hello, everyone.
We just got back from Cincinnati, Ohio. That's actually my hometown where we spent Thanksgiving. And Chris was a little pumpkin pied out. I made about 5 pumpkin pies total over the span of about 2 weeks.
Paleo pumpkin pies,
but pumpkin pies indeed.
Yeah.
Because between all the Instagram posts I was doing and testing it out. So on Thanksgiving Day, you didn't actually eat my pumpkin pie, did you?
No, I was paleo pumpkined out. And so I opted for the sweet potato pie. But when I got back, I polished off that whole 5th pie. You know, make no mistake. So I immediately landed and I ate half of it. And then the other half was eaten around 3 a.m. that night when I was on autopilot to the kitchen. So
I actually thought it was funny because I was actually like slightly offended you didn't eat the pie on Thanksgiving. But I'm like, he's literally eaten like three of the pies, basically.
You should be thanking me because you would either thrown it away or you would have eaten it. So
no, totally. And you know what? My family loved it. They actually said it was their favorite pie out of all of the pies. I'm just saying.
You know what? It's good. And you'd be surprised at how little sugar she uses for this recipe. You guys got to check it out. It's on her page. You know, I even liked it. She even missed the maple syrup one time and I even liked that.
Yeah, so it works well both ways. So just scroll back a little bit if you guys want to try that or try it around the holidays or just try it for your husband or wife at home.
Yeah, it's really, really easy.
So before we get into today's episode, Chris is going to read a review from one of our listeners.
All right, this one is from Hal Eugene. It's a 5-star review. Amanda and Chris, the podcast about CBD was awesome and very informative. It's good you two have a good source of info on non-traditional medication. Dr. Jess has lots of good things to say about alternative medication. I have subscribed to your podcast. I can't wait to hear more. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Hal.
Thanks, Hal. And again, we'll link out to that CBD episode in our show notes in case you missed it.
Yeah, it was just the one last week.
In today's episode, we're chatting with Yovana Mendoza. She's actually a really big YouTube and Instagram blogger, best known for her healthy recipes and healthy lifestyle that she promotes. She was actually a raw vegan for about 3 years and then eventually transitioned to being a vegan. And then after still dealing with some health issues, she decided to incorporate some animal products and received a lot of backlash and hate for that. And that's the story we get into today. I don't know. What did you think, Chris?
Yeah, I really liked the idea that she was just saying, listen to your body. You know, she's not telling you not to go vegan. It just didn't work for her in the long run. And so she says, listen to your body, listen to the signs. That's, you know, something like, you know, digestive issues, bloating, you know, certain other more graphic descriptions that we won't go through right now. But these things are the canary in the coal mine. They're the red flags you should really be paying attention to. And so I really like the idea of adjusting your diet as needed. And kind of what we were talking about in the middle of the podcast, where you were talking about how keto might be good for a short period of time, but you may have to back off of it for certain other stages. It's not sustainable. And that's what I really like, is that, you know, you may have a certain diet, whether it's keto or paleo or something like that, to address a certain issue or to reach a certain goal. But that doesn't mean it has to be such a long-term thing or has to be a lifestyle until you die, you know? And so that's what I think, is that, you know, you just find what works for you and try to create a sustainable lifestyle and lifestyle including sustainable diet. And it's kind of a trial and error kind of thing.
And be willing to adapt as your life changes, you know, for women who get pregnant. You know, your body changes and needs different nutrients at that time. Again, both men and women go through their own type of menopause. So again, paying attention to what your body needs at that time and being open-minded and kind to yourself.
Absolutely.
Be your own hero.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into today's episode. I think you guys are going to love it.
Absolutely.
And I'd like to welcome to the show, Yovana. Hi.
Hi.
What's happening?
How you doing? You look great as ever.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
So happy you could make it out, even though it's the rain, driving over from Orange County.
Yeah, the one day it rains in LA, so I think we'll be all right.
Yes.
Still survive. Yes. LA definitely needed it.
Oh, yes, we do.
So I wanted to ask you how you got into the health industry. Obviously, you've got a lot of subscribers on YouTube. You're really big on Instagram. And, you know, you're all about this healthy lifestyle. So where did that begin for you? And were you always this healthy?
No, I was not always this healthy. And I started my YouTube channel and my Instagram around 6.5 years ago. And it all started because I adopted at the time a raw vegan diet. So before that, I ate what I thought was pretty normal. I was always trying to be quote unquote fit, go to the gym 3 times a week and eat quote unquote healthy during the week and then indulge in the weekends. I used to drink alcohol and smoke cigarettes, and for me it was normal. And then one time, that was the beginning of 2013, and one of my resolutions was to stop drinking alcohol. And so it was kind of by the first month when I hit this place in my life where I didn't feel a purpose and I didn't feel this excitement to wake up in the morning and do something. So I went to this place called Optimum Health Institute to do it like a detox, you know, mind, body and spirit detox. I learned about the raw vegan diet and I became super passionate about it. And it was after that 2-week detox that I was able to quit alcohol, quit smoking cigarettes. I went cold turkey into a raw vegan diet, began to read a bunch of books on the plant-based diet, and became very, very passionate about this. At the time, I was living in Mexico City, working for my father's business, and I started a blog as a hobby. So I was posting my foods on Instagram and blogging as a hobby. Eventually, I found that I wanted to know more about this. I wanted to become a health coach so I could coach people one-on-one. So I quit that job and then I moved back to California, and kind of that's just how it started.
Yeah. And so switching obviously from like alcohol, you know, cigarettes and like a somewhat healthy diet, but not too much healthy, to raw vegan. I'm assuming that felt amazing at first.
Oh, yes. I felt so good. Super clear-minded. Less anxiety. At the time, I even quit coffee for 6 years. No caffeine. And
No caffeine for 6 years?
For 6 years.
Oh, Chris, you tried that.
No. That was so much.
That's really intense. Yeah. You really made a commitment.
Oh, yes. Yes. And
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I think one of the reasons why I started my blog and my Instagram was because it helped me to stay accountable.
Yes.
To myself.
Yes.
And it also helped me connect with other people that were living the same lifestyle as I was, because no one around me physically was doing that. So to know that someone in England was going through the same thing as I was, eating, you know, fruits and salads all the time. Mm-hmm. It inspired me to keep going.
Well, whenever you felt, obviously you felt tremendously better afterwards, did you attribute it all to the vegan diet, or did you just think that everything was because of this transition, or did you kind of, was it more balanced and you were also attributing to quitting smoking and drinking and things like that?
Yes, definitely. I think quitting drinking, quitting smoking cigarettes, quitting all processed foods, I quit all junk food automatically. That definitely was a big part. Mm-hmm. And obviously eating more fruits and vegetables, the most that I had ever eaten in my life, was all part of it. And being conscious about my mental health and my emotional health. And it was just, it was everything, you know, that.
Mm-hmm. Right. But at that time, I think you believed that probably the vegan diet was the best diet for everyone.
Yes. So in my eyes at the time, I saw that the vegan diet saved me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The vegan diet was the creme of the creme, like the top of the top, the mm-hmm. best thing that you could ever do. And raw veganism was even the best. Mm-hmm. And so that was my mindset. And that's one of the reasons why I began to talk about it more on social media and telling people to try it, you know, try eating raw foods for a day, or try eating one raw meal a day. And I thought that just by doing that, everything else would get better.
Yes.
Well, does raw veganism also assume that you're not going to take any supplements as well? It's all raw foods. There's no additional supplementation on top.
So the only supplement that I was taking was vitamin B12.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
And then afterwards, did you find out that you needed a supplement with some more things?
Yes. So after that, 3 years into being raw vegan, I began to crave cooked foods. Mm. And I started eating cooked foods, and then I also went to get checked and I saw that my B12 levels were low at the time. So I started to take more B12. Mm-hmm. And I began eating cooked foods. I think my body was just craving more nutrients. And then I was vegan for 3 years, and it was during those last 3 years of being vegan that I became more and more careful about my health because of what I had kind of dealt with. Like the first 3 years of being raw vegan, I don't think I ever really, I automatically thought that everything was fine because I felt really good.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I went to get checked. And then after that, I would get checked every two times a year. And then it was towards my last years of being vegan, the last 2 years, when I started to take more supplements, more vitamin B12, iron, zinc, because when I was raw vegan, I also had a period when I had amenorrhea. So I didn't have my period.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I was trying to get it back by taking more supplements. So, the last year I was taking, I can't even remember. I would travel with like a vitamin box everywhere with all the different vitamins that I needed to take.
Yeah. So when did the health issues really come into play?
The last year.
Yeah.
So okay. 2018, and it all kind of just happened at once. I got my period back in 2018, but I also had that year I got candida. I was also having really bad pain in my hip. Every time I ran, my hip would hurt really bad. And then also, so it was the candida, the hips. I was developing anemia. My thyroid was low. And the last thing, it was like kind of like the last drop, it was SIBO. So I got small intestinal bacteria overgrowth, where it came to a point where it was really hard for my body to digest fiber.
Yeah.
And everything I ate, it would hurt my stomach. I would blow up as a balloon. I would get constipated for 4 or 5 days, then have, diarrhea.
No, you're totally fine.
Yeah, it's a health podcast. Limits. Yeah.
So I would just go on from, it would ping pong from constipation to diarrhea.
Oh, brutal.
For months.
Right.
And at the time I found out that I had SIBO, and my doctor said, you know what, you can heal this. There's a way to heal it naturally with a diet, but it's basically you have to cut out all fruits, most veggies, and eat protein. You can also take antibiotics, which you only have 30% success rate,
mm-hmm.
or do an elemental diet, which is you drink a shake for 2 weeks and then hope for it to go away. But there's a high probability that it will come back. Like, it's really hard to get rid of SIBO.
Wow.
So you chose the former.
So I chose the natural way.
Okay.
And that's when I made the decision to, I had already been thinking about it. Oh, I also had hormonal issues.
Yeah.
For I had hormonal issues for years. And finally I received my results back last week and everything's finally stabilized after years. And so I opted for the natural way. I talked to vegan doctors about it, and they obviously recommended me to take the antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
One of them even said, take the antibiotics and fast for a week and take the antibiotics. Like, I just didn't make sense to me.
Right.
I felt like I was really going to F up my gut by doing that.
Right.
And so it was actually one day I was at my friend's house, and I was at my house and I finished watching a video from a friend who was vegan for a long time, and she started eating animal protein. And after watching her video, I said, I'm going to go make some eggs. And that's it. Like, I was done with it. I was so done with it.
Right.
And so let's talk about the famous moment when, you know, when you were caught,
fish.
Quote unquote, caught eating fish in public. So you talk about that. How much further beyond, how long were you eating eggs and fish
before
you got
caught? Yeah, so it had been about a month into it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It was very sporadical.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't eat it every day.
Yep.
I was still fearful of eating animal.
Mm-hmm.
I cut out a lot of fruits. I cut out a lot of things that were not on the SIBO diet. So it was in March, I went to a trip to Bali with two friends. And then one of them, she's a big vlogger. So she was vlogging the whole trip, and then her editor forgot to edit a part when I'm eating fish. Like, I come out with a plate eating fish.
Yeah.
And that video got leaked and it went viral.
Yeah.
And so it was like, that was what people used, you know. Obviously that's like come on, it's like the perfect thing to use. Like, right. Oh, she was caught eating fish.
Well, in your defense, you were, I mean, you said it was about a month, so you were probably still in an experimental phase and figuring out whether or not this was going to work for you, because you're like, oh, I have all these health problems. Maybe I should reintroduce this. And so it's not like you had gone full-fledged back into, let's just say, a full paleo diet, but you were just trying to say, hey, maybe if I introduce some of these things a little bit, my symptoms will improve.
Yeah.
So it's not like you did a 180 behind everybody's back and like flipped the script in terms of ideology on everybody, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Okay. No, I was experimenting and I wanted my space to process that on my own. And before I told anyone, because I kind of want to just go through it and see what, like you said, experiment, see what differences I saw, if I saw any benefits, and then talk about it on my own time. And also, I think the fact that I labeled myself as a raw vegan and then as a vegan ever since I started my social media career, and I was one of the biggest voices to the vegan movement in the world, probably. Mm-hmm. Then I felt a huge responsibility and a huge, I didn't know how I would come
back from that.
Yeah. And like, admit, you know, it was a humbling experience. It was, you know, taking my pride back and being like, you know what, I was wrong. Like, this was just actually not working for me, what I thought was. And so that was hard, and digesting all of that on top of changing my diet was so much.
Right.
That it was just at the time really hard for me to come out and say it.
No, I totally understand. I remember Yovana was telling me how she even recorded her first time eating eggs. Like, she was going to share this stuff. She it's hard. And I mean,
yes,
to be honest, like, I understand that community feels very strongly. So, I mean, I would be a little nervous to come out just because they feel very strongly.
Well, yeah, and you talk about the community, and you probably have a lot of positive reinforcement from that community, and they were cheerleading you and things like that. So hard to give that up a lot. I mean, I'm sure your social media following and your support declined drastically. Like, what was the backlash like?
Yeah, so I mean, one of the comments, obviously, hundreds, if not thousands, probably hundreds of videos made of me. I mean, that video leaked on the news.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've all seen over the world.
It was in so many articles.
I have friends that live in Morocco and France and Switzerland and Barcelona and Spain, and they all wrote to me. Like, people I hadn't talked to in like 10 years were writing me and telling me, like, I'm so sorry for, like, if someone had died or something. Like, it was just a big deal. It went viral. That's so crazy. I mean, definitely the backlash, and just going through that and like going into YouTube and just seeing my face everywhere and just, you know, so many things. And then, so I completely shut off from social media for 3 weeks. I deleted all the apps and I barely went on my phone. I took time to just like be with my dog and be with my husband, and that's it. And that was really good. And yes, I lost a lot of followers on YouTube. I mean, not as much as I thought I would lose, but I lost like 50,000 followers. And then on Instagram, I lost a lot of followers. At the beginning, I gained so many followers because I was viral.
The PR. Yeah,
yeah. But then after, it was kind of faded. And so having, you know, that not caring about the numbers, that really, that helped me too, to not care so much about the numbers or the followers. And yeah.
No, I mean, you really need to take care of your health.
For sure.
First.
Yes, exactly. My health, I began to put my health as number one.
Right. And it's not to say that, you know, the diet won't work for some people. It's just, you know, it's kind of sad when you end up putting yourself in a box. And I'm sure other people have been in the same situation. But it's hard because I think, let's just say keto, paleo, all the diets, if you transition from a standard American diet of processed food and then try any of those diets and you're eating mostly whole foods, you're going to feel amazing.
For sure.
So it's really easy to get caught up in that. And I feel like that's the biggest takeaway, you know, I'd want people to take from your story, obviously, is that to really like listen to their body and, you know, keto might work for you for a while, but then you'll probably need to cycle on carbs, and you're not going to stay in ketosis your whole life.
Right.
For sure. Yes. Just
same thing with, you know, yes, any of that.
Have an open mind.
Yes.
Not black and white, and just have an open mind. And the thing is that like you were saying about the vegan community, how they cheer you on. It's, mm-hmm. you know, I think at one point it's like human. We all want to feel accepted. We all want to feel like people around us support us. And you do feel a lot of that when you decide to go vegan. So mm-hmm. Just being wary of that too. And you know, they might be your friends if you're vegan, but then if you're not vegan, they're not going to be your friends anymore.
Which means they weren't your friends.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. I mean,
and you talked about, you know, the things like Candida, SIBO, yes. other things that were a result of that strict diet for a long time. And I've heard that's a very frequent thing, or at least you're not the only one. Let's just put it that. I'm not going to say how frequent it is or whatever, mm-hmm. but can you maybe talk about what it is about that diet that can possibly bring about SIBO or Candida or those things?
Yes. So at the end, with the SIBO, the problem was that it was really hard for my body to digest food and absorb nutrients. So I think that because it's a diet with so much fiber, it comes a point where it's just too much roughage in the system. And also, it's easier. Certain vitamins and minerals are more bioavailable to eat from animals.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So like B12 or vitamin D or omegas, you're going to be able to absorb it much better from, for example, fish source than mm-hmm. from a pill.
Right.
Yeah, from algae.
So I think
because
that's
the fish eat the algae and all that. So it's way more concentrated within the fish.
Yes, right. Exactly. So I think that's the biggest thing. That's mm-hmm. why adding animal protein was so beneficial to me, because my body was able to actually absorb it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, there's one thing that people, the vegans or the pro-vegan diet advocates always talk about is the alkalinity of it, right? But that has a negative aspect, because it can actually decrease the acidity of your stomach. And you need that to not only break down the food and mm-hmm. help it to be bioavailable and you can absorb it or whatever,
yes.
but it also serves as a protective barrier for bacteria and pathogenic bacteria and parasites and things like that. So when you have low stomach acid, that can actually decrease your defensive mechanisms. And so, which is why you get, you know, some of these, you know, the SIBO and can possibly have, you know, parasitical issues down the gut. So,
for sure.
So yeah. And so like with, maybe talk about Candida. What about the Candida aspect? How does the vegan diet contribute to that?
So the Candida is like basically an overgrowth of bacteria, and it feeds off from sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So since you're ingesting so many carbohydrates too, and it all converts to sugar,
mm-hmm.
I think that's why a reason why so many people that are vegan get Candida.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had vaginal Candida too, which was yes. really, that's the one that I talked about in my video.
Yeah.
So that was so horrible. Everything that I went through that year.
Well, wow. Candida takes a long time to get over.
Yes,
right?
It was. It took a long time. And it took me a long time also to address these issues, because I would talk to vegan doctors or vegan, you know, more experienced nutritionists, and they'll be like, oh, like eat more tofu, or maybe you're missing more lentils, or take these supplements. And it was all like so many carbs too.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, my body just wanted protein, which is right. needed that solid protein with no fiber, just mm-hmm. to balance that out. Like mm-hmm. you said, like
yes.
you can't have, yes, eat fruits and veggies, but you need to balance that out with yeah. something else.
Well, you know, I think I have seen vegan work for some people, like my friends that I know, and they supplement, right? And it just mm-hmm. it just works for their whole family, and I've seen very little issues. But you know, this diet doesn't work for everyone.
Yes.
And that's why it's so good for you to share your story, so people don't feel like they don't feel trapped. And I mean, you can hear from your story that you literally tried everything
mm-hmm.
before
yes.
incorporating animal. It wasn't like you weren't like eating a bunch of processed vegan food or junk and mm-hmm. then you were like, this isn't working. Like it wasn't like that at all.
Yeah. And I think that, like you said, for some people it works, and they've mm-hmm. been vegan for many, many years.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then like more power to you. That's amazing.
Right.
And sometimes, obviously, I wish I could go back to eating vegan, but I won't, because I want to
feel so much better.
Yes, I feel better. And for those vegans have been long-term vegans, like I would just say, just stay open-minded. You know, it's so easy to get into this box. And just, I would only want to hear information about the vegan diet. If it didn't have to do with plant-based eating, then I didn't want to hear about it.
So you knew all the studies and things that would advocate or at least reinforce your ideology before. So like when somebody said something, try to refute one of your points, pro-vegan points, then you would probably have the research on hand, right?
Oh, yes, and yes. I mean, you're taught that too.
Right.
Yeah. You're taught to do that. And these research case studies, they're so one-sided too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can basically prove anything you want. Now I know this. You know, at first I thought that was the actual truth. And now I've learned that you can prove anything you want, really.
Yeah, you a lot of them are associative studies, or they don't control for other lifestyle factors, and so
exactly, and that's the thing with a lot of people. Like they talk about eliminating animal protein, but they don't talk about eliminating processed foods.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what about that? I think that if you just eliminated processed foods, you would be you would see an impact,
right,
as well.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's so the one.
That's the issue. The processed foods, and now it's all these processed vegan things.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just marketed as like, oh, it's vegan, oh, it's healthy, oh, it's helping the environment. Is it really helping the environment? Like, how much energy does it take to create a impossible burger?
Whole thing is, it's like, you know, they're trying to, you know, tell everybody this is a healthier diet, but really these processed foods are really just kind of, that's bait to get people to eat these things that they're used to eating. So this Impossible Burger,
exactly,
it's not for the vegans. The vegans already have, they're happy with their black bean burger.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The Impossible Burger is trying to convert people that are used to eating meat and don't want to give that up. And so it's like, it's at the detriment of the actual consumers, because mm-hmm. it's really just, it's bait. You know, but it's
yes.
not healthier than
no.
what you would say would be the raw vegan diet, which what I would add on top of that raw vegan plus supplement could possibly give you, you know.
Exactly.
And so it's just really weird. It's I think the whole idea of like vegan butter, vegan burgers, it's just such a weird thing, because it's not, again, it's not for the people that are already vegan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So. I mean, and anyone who's doing it for ethical
yes,
reasons that use it as a treat, not something you eat every day, like, you know, total respect to you. And
yes.
that makes sense. But, you know, I would hope if you are on the vegan diet and you want to stay to it, doing something like a black bean burger at home.
Exactly.
Would be much better for you. Like, I have one on my page, just like 4 ingredients or something. Like,
oh, I want to try that. Exactly. Stick to whole foods.
Yes. So actually I wanted to ask you, you know, what does your diet look like now? I know you're coming out with a YouTube video, so we can talk about it on the show, but also
yeah.
your YouTube channel is Yovana. Is that how
yes,
they find you?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So I have 2 channels, one in English, one in Spanish.
Oh, look at you.
So because I'm Mexican, born in the US, but I lived with both cultures my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So Yovana Mendoza is my English channel. And so my diet now, I feel like I'm getting to a point where it's more balanced, because I did the strict SIBO diet for around 2-3 months. And that was very strict. I could only eat like kale and carrots, and the rest was fish and eggs.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And meat. So now, yes, now it's like I'll usually have eggs for breakfast or an oatmeal. I usually switch between that. And then lunch, if I'm going to do a vegan plant-based version, I'll do I always like to add tempeh or tofu, like a bowl, nourish bowl with tempeh and tofu or with fish. And then at dinner, I'll usually have more of like protein. So I'll either do fish again or grass-fed meat with some veggies and some sourdough bread. So I'm trying to really keep my meals, all of my meals balanced, because that's my goal right now. Just balance, no extremes, just eat good whole foods. Like, focus on the source, focus on the quality, and listen to my body too.
And so that's, you continue with your YouTube page. And so so I'm sure you gained a lot of followers
yes.
that found out about you that weren't vegan. So you gained a lot of paleo followers. I'm sure you gained a lot of anti-vegan followers as well that want to just jump on and hear, hear about the battle between that community. So is that really the focus, just about more of the balanced lifestyle, or do you actually focus your page on talking about what, like all the bad things that happened to you?
So both.
Okay.
Because I, number one, I want to help people to share my story and, you know, kind of like my mistakes that I did and how they can prevent that. Mm-hmm. So they can have, you know, keep their health and not fall into labels and boxes and stuff. So really listening to their bodies and eating but balanced and intuitively and focusing on whole foods. And then also talking about like what are the, consequences that can happen from following a strict vegan diet if you're not careful with it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I definitely want to, I'm planning to make more videos to educate people and at the same time educate myself of like where food comes from. Like, where does your fish really come from? Where does your meat really come from? Where does your chicken really come from? And what are the best sources that you can look for? Because I remember when I first started eating animal protein, I didn't really want to know about it. I started with eggs because it was the easiest thing, but I think knowledge is power. And at first I couldn't think about the fact of having a piece of steak if I knew it was an animal. But it was when I went to the farm and visited the cows and saw how they were treating, how they were being treated and what they were eating, it just made more sense to me. So that's, yeah, more than like talking about the consequences that can happen from eating a vegan diet, I want to talk about the importance of including good quality animal protein into your diet.
So it was kind of like, as soon as you got out of the assumption or the false assumption that every, you know, let's just say every cow that's killed is done so on a factory farm, you went out and saw that people do it in an ethical way, in the same way that we did it hundreds of years ago and things like that. So that kind of alleviated some of the anxiety associated with it.
Yes, for sure. For sure. I mean, I have my, the guy that I buy my meat from, I text with him like before, like, what do you have in stock this week? You know? And I went to his farm and he's very loyal to his practice. He even like rejected working with Whole Foods because he was going to have to like change his way of raising his animals and the way that he fed them. So,
really cool.
Obviously, you know, it's, I'm not extreme to the, if I'm traveling somewhere and I'm craving a piece of meat or a piece of fish, I'm not going to eat it because I don't know where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. I don't want to fall into that.
Right.
So it's when it's under my control, if I can get the best quality, then I'll do it.
We're going to have to get this guy's number from
him. Yeah. We're going to have
because,
to do
no,
that.
No, I like He's... that because I have a guy in St. Louis that sends me out deer meat that he hunts. And I try to do that as much as possible. And I want to get into wild game a lot more. I do a lot of wild game ranch, stuff like that, but not nearly enough. I would like to get a local source.
Yes. You know?
So, and this guy's in California?
Yes, this guy's in California. He's in Orange County.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
so
it's all local and it's really, and you can taste the difference.
Is it everything? Do they do like pigs and is, or just cows?
Just cows.
Okay.
Yeah, that's just so cows. Cool. And he does a lot of organ meats too.
Oh, that's
so
super important.
I've been learning about eating nose to tail and how that important that is. So it's not just the meat, like the beef, it's like the liver, the heart. Yeah, liver and heart is kidneys too. So he has these, organ meat sausages that we get from him. So it's all
nice.
Organ meats
and
no hormones, no vaccines, all grass fed. And they eat like organic veggies, these cows. So
I know that, cool. I mean, I know that just going maybe like 12 hours without having a burger and I bite into a nice burger, I like my brain, all the neurons are firing and saying yes when that happens. Did that happen when you had your first plate of eggs? At all? Or were you kind of weird? Was it too much of a stigma for you? So you were kind of psyched out and it was kind of weird?
It wasn't super weird. I was seeing it as medicine, but I enjoyed it. And I never liked the yolk before. And this time, now I enjoy it. Now I love it. Because I also made it, I made a conscious decision to remove that stigma and see it as medicine and see it as something like that's going to make me feel better.
Nice.
I
mean, yeah, because I'm sure you're mulling it over for like weeks before you even tried it.
Oh,
right?
For months.
Yeah,
months. No, okay. I was thinking about it and talking about it with like my husband and my close friends. Like, maybe I'll do this. Maybe I'll do this. It was like 6 or 8 months of me talking about it and thinking about it.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. you were talking
so
about...
it took me a long time.
Well, you definitely talk, you were telling that you say that to your listeners that to listen to your body. So
yes.
If you were telling our listeners right now to listen to their bodies and if they're vegan, what kind of early signs were telling you that these issues were going on, you know, with the candida and the SIBO and, you know, the thyroid and all that kind of stuff?
So I think it all comes from the gut
mm-hmm.
and the digestion and indigestion. And because that's where everything is absorbed in the small intestine, and then the digestion can tell a lot about how your health is. So I did, for the time when I was vegan, I noticed that my digestion, I had a good digestion, but my bowels, like the way that the poop came out was like not formed correctly.
Okay.
And I think that's a big sign, because that's when you know that your body's not properly digesting food. And then just being on the lookout for getting bloated, because I think I came to a point where I just saw it as something normal. That I was like, oh, I eat so much veggies, I get super bloated, that's just normal. And no, it doesn't have to be a norm. So being on the lookout for that. And I think if they're vegan or vegetarian, the way to listen to your body, the best way I think, is by cutting out processed foods. So because just it's processed, they have sometimes like addictive chemicals in there. So if you cut out processed foods and focus on whole foods, you'll be able, you'll be better able to actually know what's going on or how your body's reacting to certain foods.
Okay, nice. That's good, because obviously most people, they're like you said, that are not going to respond to just bloating, because we're, you know, as a culture, we're used to stuffing our faces and eating
exactly.
until we're full anyway. Yeah. And so that, you know, most people don't see that as a symptom of something, but it most definitely is.
I was just going to ask. So if people wanted to be vegan, or they want to stay vegan for ethical reasons, or vegetarian, what are some tips for them to do it correctly? And would you maybe say not to stick to raw vegan for too long and do more cooked foods?
Yeah. So, definitely include a source of plant-based protein. If you combine a legume with a grain, you have a complete protein and you have all the 9 essential amino acids. So doing that, and then just getting your blood work done, taking B12 is super important. And then omega-3s and vitamin D3. I always took that when I was vegan. And yeah, just doing that and making sure. The thing is that you can get the same amount of protein and the same amount of nutrients, the same from a meat source and a plant-based source, but the way that your body's going to absorb it will be different. So just being on the lookout for that and just having an open mind. I'm not saying that it's impossible to do. It's definitely possible, and a lot of people do it, and there's a lot of doctors advocating for this diet and focusing on whole foods, like not depending so much on the fake meats and all those fake things that is just processed. Because then you're just, it's like if you were eating a junk food regular diet at that point, if you're eating that. So focusing on whole foods.
And then when you switch to like, or if you're on a more paleo diet, or I like what like Dr. Mark Hyman calls his vegan diet, where he mixes, he's like, okay, paleo people are right and vegan people are right, but like, let's come more in the middle. We'll do vegan. But how do you try to source your different meats and eggs? Like, what do you look for on the labels?
Cage-free eggs and organic.
Yep.
Local if possible. So I actually like to get my eggs at the farmer's market, because that's the best tasting eggs too, and they're also cheaper from the store. So grass-fed meat and wild-caught fish always. And also I try to, when I'm buying fish that is wild-caught, I don't buy anything that comes from China. So a lot of the tilapia, I think, comes from China. Mm-hmm. And just if you look in the labels, you'll see if it's from China, then it's just better to get it from other places or just the closer to your home as possible. That's what I look out for.
Yes. Yeah. Perfect. I know. I really want to get on more local, we need to do more local shopping, but we do always try to buy high quality stuff.
Yeah.
I've also looked into regenerative farming, which is with the grass fed cows, but I really like that type of farming because it can help regenerate the soil.
For sure.
With the calculations of everything involved, they're saying it has actually negative emissions because it gives back so much to the earth and the environment. I don't know exactly how it works.
Mm-hmm.
But I think moving towards that would be great, because at the end of the day, I would think we would all agree that if we can get away from factory farming, with all these antibiotics, the junk, some of these, if we can get away from that right now, it's hard because obviously the population is so big. So I don't have all the answers by any means, but I'm all for moving in that direction. And, I would hope we're all on the same team where we don't want factory farmed animals much as possible.
Hey, I'm sorry, but Game Changers, this documentary I saw last week, would refute everything you just said about about being a carbon sink. Did you see that at all?
Yeah, I watched it last night.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? Oh,
I finally watched it. Yeah.
Yeah, we've been fielding some questions about that. Whenever one of these documentaries comes out, there's always the inbox getting flooded of emails like, hey, what do you think at this point? What do you think of this when they said this? And it's just like, I almost want to just do a podcast just on that to address all the questions,
I know.
So what did you think? Because I'm sure that you've heard all those arguments before. Yes. Like, what did you think of that documentary?
Well, they didn't talk about processed food at all. Like they just like what mm-hmm. I said earlier, they just talked about meat mm-hmm. and that how we grew up and what we learned about what a healthy diet is, and it's very one-sided.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very one-sided. They don't talk about the other side at all. They make it seem like that's the only way to do it. And actually I thought they were gonna have more scientific information, but it was more just interviews with athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then just documenting their wins. But what about the the rest of,
It was all out of context things, they tried to make a point about, this one guy going the distance with Vladimir Klitschko and Klitschko being one of the best boxers. But they're using this benchmark, but they forget to mention that Klitschko eats meat. And so all you're doing is proving that people can perform at the high level. But it's by no means proving it's superior. And it was kind of a foregone conclusion of it, And so we don't need to go into all of that. I just kind of wanted to
get your opinion on it.
And,
I mean, Chris and I had talked about it would have been cool to show a documentary that was more like you can be vegan and, perform at the highest level. And maybe here's some tips how to do it correctly, talking about the what to eat.
Yes.
And not really pinning each other against each other.
Well, yeah, that's why I the point that you made, which I think is extremely important, is the complete protein and the quality of protein, which is, there's actually a thing that you can look up. It's the DIAAS, right? And that basically just studies not only the amino acid profile, but also the absorbability. And so it talks about, the difference between, say, your ability to absorb amino acids from beef versus, say, from wheat or peanut butter. And your beef is up there at 1.3 and wheat and peanut butter are down there at 0.5 and 0.3, And so it is about a bioavailability thing, which, goes back to what she was talking about with the digestive issues and the absorption issues and all those other things. So it's not just absorption of nutrients because of, we haven't even got into the idea that there's anti-nutrients in all of some of these, plant-based foods, just plants in general have anti-nutrients, but just the absorbability of the protein itself. And so it's not this, it's very nuanced. And if you want to choose it, I highly recommend listening to both sides and not being so dogmatic, because most people flip the script. They watch a documentary and they automatically I think I'm going to try this, and they don't listen to any counterpoints or any nuance in the middle. Right.
Yeah.
And is that how you transitioned? Did you read something compelling, or did somebody flip you?
It was I read the China study.
Oh,
the book.
Wow. Of
so
course,
that,
yeah.
that book convinced me to do it. And automatically when I became vegan, I just shut out all other information that was opposed to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's like, I still advocate for, or just recommend people, if they want to try vegan diet, try it. Like, try it for a month, try it for 2 months, but don't marry yourself to, or like, yes, say like, I'm going to be vegan forever. Just stay open-minded, and you'll probably feel amazing if you do it for a month or 2 months. Maybe some people, they don't react to it at mm-hmm. all, positively. And yeah, I think just being more, more aware of the information that we're fed on social media and not believing everything that we see on the internet and seeing the opposing side too.
Mm-hmm.
I think a really good opposing side to the Game Changers is the podcast from Joe Rogan and Chris Kresser, which
yes.
they talk about it for 3 hours.
Yeah, it's almost exhaustive.
I know. So I think it's just being open to both sides.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, if there was one area that you'd say you would tell listeners to master first when it comes to their health, what would you say, or what would the biggest takeaway be today?
So I would say to help to approach get into a healthy lifestyle, it's getting the basics done right. And I think sometimes we overlook them and we try to make it really complicated on like, what's the perfect diet for me? And it's sleeping, drinking water, getting sunshine, mm-hmm. eating whole foods, fruits, veggies, good sources of protein, being around your friends and your family and feeling that love and connection is super important, and stress levels, meditating, not worrying excessively.
That's my kind of
keep
diet.
It simple. Yeah. I love it. Absolutely.
You heard it right here from Yovana.
Yeah.
So maybe tell everybody how to find you on, I know you already said your YouTube, maybe repeat that, and also your Instagram.
Yes. So they can find me on Instagram, Yovana, and YouTube, Yovana Mendoza, and Pinterest, Yovana Mendoza too.
Awesome.
Well. Yes.
And do you have anything in the works that people should be looking out for?
I have a new ebook coming up.
Yeah.
In the next few months, which I'm excited about. And then a couple other things that are like very early in the works. So they'll hear more about it. But if they just sign up to my newsletter, they will get to know it all.
Yeah. Sign up and you'll be in the loop. So,
yes.
All right. Thanks a lot. We're excited to hear your comments about the podcast, and we'll talk to you guys later.
We'll catch you on the next episode. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.